So over the last few weeks, we have been sharing Christmas films. Miracle on 34th Street and the evidence of the Messiah. A Christmas Story and talking about the love of a mother. Jingle All the Way, talking about the love and actions of a father. And today, not just my favorite Christmas movie, but my favorite movie, period. I love It's a Wonderful Life. I always have, from the time I was a kid, just love the story of George Bailey. If you have never seen It's a Wonderful Life, that's awful. But let me tell you a little bit of the story. George Bailey is a young man who lives in a small town, Bedford Falls, and he runs with his uncle a building and loan, a bank in this town. It's the only one that's not owned by the powerful businessman in the community. And he goes through a hard time. And as he goes through this hard time, he thinks that maybe life would be better off if he had never been born. You know, he decides that he is going to end his life. And ultimately, a guardian angel comes down and shows him, answers his prayer, tells him, this is, you wanted to know what life would be like if you never lived. Here is what life would have been like if you were never around. This guardian angel guides him through the discovery of the changes in his absence and ultimately brings about a positive resolution. One of the scenes that particularly impacts me is soon after they meet, they both jump off a bridge together. Actually, Clarence, the guardian angel, jumps off first and George jumps in to save him. And they're drying off, and the following exchange between George and his guardian angel goes as follows. Clarence, the guardian angel, says, "Your lips bleeding, George." To which George answers, "Yeah, I got a bust in the jaw in answer to prayer a little bit ago." To which Clarence says, "Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here." And I have to ask myself, is there any better connection to the Christmas story, to the narrative of the Nativity, than that quote? Isn't that really what the angels said to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay? We pray and God answers. We pray for good news and Jesus came down as the answer. The first thing we want to look at in this passage is that we pray for good news and Jesus came down as the answer. We all want to hear good news. A good prognosis at the doctor's office. A good performance evaluation at work. A good report from the investment company that's handling our pension or our IRA. We want good news. We go to the mailbox and look for good news. We watch television. Maybe we watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, and we're looking for good news. Most of the time, we don't receive it. But we look for good news. We pray for good news. When something happens, we were talking earlier about Linda Smith. We are now praying that the next news that we receive is good. We have a family member who texted Janine earlier this week and said that an aunt had a stroke and it doesn't look good. We're praying for good news. When someone goes for a job interview, we pray for good news. And that's exactly what the angel declares. Verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the flocks nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night, at night. An angel of the Lord appeared, verse 9 says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news. Sort of starts off like a news broadcast, a news report. When? Where? How? When? Today. Where? The town of David. What? A Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. How? You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It's a news story. But it's good news. Because it's news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. The Christ, the promised Messiah, has come. And it's good news for all people. It's good news for the humble. Good news for the honored. God made sure that the shepherds heard the good news. The most humble of positions in that day. The lowest of the low. But it's also good news for the kings. Because not only did God make sure the shepherds knew that the Savior has been born, but he sent magi from the east to go directly to the king's palace and say, hey, where's the one that's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star and have come to worship him. And the king at the time says, hey, wait a minute. I don't know anything about this. Calls his wise men in. And they're like, oh, well, there's a prophecy. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, are by no means least, for from you will come the Messiah. It's good news for the young and the old. The young, Mary and Joseph. Now, Joseph may have been a little older, but Mary is young. They saw Jesus at the very beginning of their adult lives. But then there's also later on in Luke 2, Anna and Simeon, who are very old and see Jesus at the end of their lives. It's good news for all the nations. Certainly the Roman Empire, which Jesus was born into, it was good news for them. But God also made sure that there were people in the east. We don't know where they're from. Could be Persia, could be further east than that. But someone knew. God sent a message through a star that good news was here. The Roman Empire, the eastern nations, the entire known world would have been given this good news. Unfortunately, like a lot of good news, we pray for it. Not everyone hears it. Not everyone sees it. Not everyone accepts it. Not everyone acknowledges it. Not everyone realizes that it's good news. Oh, you know, maybe this is good news. Maybe it isn't. But God has declared that our prayer has been answered. They waited hundreds of years for the good news that the Messiah had been born. And finally, they get the news. The Christ is born. Earlier this week, I heard of good news. I don't know how many of you saw this in the news, but a 26-year-old woman gave birth to a 24-year-old girl. That's right. What are their names? Tina and Benjamin Gibson. Could not have children on their own. So they went to a fertility clinic and had a baby through in vitro fertilization. And the embryo that they embedded into Tina had been frozen for 24 years. So some are saying that Tina's daughter is about 18 months younger than her mom. And we may say that's a miracle that a living person could be frozen in an embryonic stage for 24 years and then warmed and provided for and protected and kept and allowed to grow. And just after Thanksgiving, a couple weeks ago, breathed air for the first time, a blessing to her parents, Emma. Only slightly more miraculous is this good news from the angel. Good news of God's arrival is an answer to prayer. We also pray for God's presence. And Jesus is an answer to prayer for that. We pray for God's presence, and Jesus came down as the answer. Suddenly, verse 13, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We all want to witness God in our midst. When we say goodbye to someone, we're actually saying, in shorthand, "God be with you." It's where the phrase goodbye came from. We want God's presence. We seek God's presence when we come to church. We look for God's presence. We pray and ask God to meet us where we are. We want to witness God, not only miraculously, but we want to witness God's presence in our fellow human beings. We want people to be gracious and kind to one another, show godly character to one another. We want our leaders, whether they be academic leaders or civil leaders, governmental leaders, leaders in the workplace, leaders in the home. We want our leaders to exercise God's mercy and God's gracious kindness to us. We want God's presence to permeate all of our life. And really, that's what the angelic hosts proclaim. The shepherds hear of God's highest glory. God's glory is that inapproachable presence that we see in the temple, that we see in the Holy of Holies, that place where few can dwell, that only the righteous are able to penetrate, that unimaginable great glory. And yet we are told that God is with us. All the glory of the Lord. If you were to turn to John chapter 1, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. Let me find the verse so I don't misquote it. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen this glory. Glory to God in the highest. And because he has come, we are provided with his peace and His reconciliation, an earthly peace, contentment, blessing. On earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. But also a heavenly peace, that there's forgiveness and reconciliation with God. That Christ came so that we could recognize that God desires to dwell among us. It's not only that we have the hope of heaven, where God will one day greet us. But Christmas, the angels proclaim, is when the Christ, the Son of the Most High, has come down to be with us. God is with us. The heavens burst into praise because of the proclaiming of His birth. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, put it this way. The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory. Because at the Father's will, Jesus Christ became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later He might hang on a cross. He is an answer to prayer. He is the prayer for God's presence. The glory and the peace that is showered upon God's people is an answer to prayer. And then finally, we pray for great changes. And Jesus came down as the answer. We pray for change all the time. God, help me. Change my situation. Change me. Change them. Change this. Change that. We want individually to be better people. And we ask God to help. We societally ask God to be better people. And pray that He would. And we share in the same transformation when we see the newborn king that the shepherds experienced. Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So, here's the transformation. If we were to look at verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That's where they began. They begin the evening with fear and trembling, being terrified at what is happening to their lives. They end the evening, they greet the morning with praise and worship. The shepherds returned. They went back to their lives. But now, instead of being terrified at God's presence, they are glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They see a bright light and they're terrified. Now they are saying, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world. I can't contain it. Everyone that I see, I want to share and tell them all the things that have happened. And the fact is that that's the same thing for us. There are so many ways that God answers our prayer for major change in our lives that we would never cease to have a testimony. Matthew 5:17, that He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He fulfills all the promises of the Old Testament. John 9:39, He gives sight to the blind, physically and spiritually. John 10:10, he gives us abundant life. John 12:46, he gives us the light. John 12:47, he is the Savior of the world. Matthew 20:28, he has given his life as a ransom for many. We pray for change, for great change and transformation in our lives. And Jesus has come down as the answer. The transformation which God has worked in and through us is an answer to prayer. So this is our sermon in a sentence. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. That's why he was sent down here. All credit to Clarence, the guardian angel. This is a better answer. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. And that's why he was sent down here. We pray for good news in the midst of our darkness. We pray for God's presence in the midst of our confusion. We pray for great change in the midst of our brokenness. And Jesus came to answer it all. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. And that's why he was sent down here. Sometimes I'm like George Bailey, overwhelmed with the demands of life, and I repeat what started this whole storyline in the movie. George prays just before Clarence arrives. Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. Show me the way. And God answers. And he sends Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer to our prayers. And that's why he was sent down here. Shall we pray?